Blog Talk Radio.
There's no one else to turn to, Lord, but you. You're the only answer to the situation. We've got nothing to the master. Would you please come down and give us helping hand? There's a whole lot of people going hungry. They can get nothing to eat. Oh my. There's a whole lot of people going naked, naked. They don't even have shoes to put on their feet. So Master, won't you please? Right now, how can I make it without?
Good evening. You're listening to EIE, SOC Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. Welcome to tonight's show. We're going to kick this right off because this is an issue that has been on my mind. I'm tired of looking at the papers and the radio and the internet, and I'm hearing about the bloodshed in Chicago, and it doesn't seem to be letting up. Every weekend, the death toll is high. They're saying that the murder statistics are down in Chicago, but shootings are up. Wow, is there a coincidence? Because they say the same thing here in New York City. What's the real deal? Our youth and young adults are gunning each other down. They're committing genocide by way of homicide. If you're from the south side of Chicago, please participate and call in tonight. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your experience, your hope, or even your hopelessness. Our calling number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue, and you can join us on tonight's discussion, which is entitled Chicago, a.k.a. Let me see if I can pronounce this right. Chirac. Chicago, a.k.a. Chirac. This is what they have named it because the death toll is high. You got a body count that's higher than casualties in the Afghan war on a daily basis. What's going on south side of Chicago? Who's behind this? I've even heard the rumors, this is rumors, alleged rumors, that law enforcement may be involved. If you have any info or view on that, please call in and let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. What kind of solutions do we need to make happen? Who's standing with the activists and advocates who are trying to prevent more bloodshed? These are the things we need to talk about. Where are the guns coming from? How they getting their hands on them. Again, calling number is 424-258-9271. Also, the chat room is open. Feel free to leave your thoughts and comments. Please tell me your name, and I'll definitely give you a shout-out over the air. Again, you're listening to EIE SOC Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. I'm the founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. You can find us on Facebook, or you can go directly to our website at www.enoughisenoughsaveourchildren.org. While you're visiting our website, feel free to join and become an official member of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. Registration is free. We ask that you make a small donation. It would be greatly appreciated. It helps keep this show on the air. It funds events, workshops, T-shirts. We also have a wish list. So please, if you can spare it, make a small donation. Our email is eie.saveourchildren@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter. That's EIESOC. You can follow us on Twitter. Again, please come be a part of the solution. We're having a no violence, no peace movement. That's K-N-O-W, deuces. And we need everybody to get involved in this. Tonight, we're talking about the crisis in Chicago, the young men and women who are losing their lives as I speak. Our show tonight is entitled Chicago, a.k.a. Chirac. Calling number again, 424-258-9271. We're going to take a short pause and come back. I'm going to see who I got on the phone line, and we're going to pick this up and get it started. So stand by, listeners. Don't you go nowhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you right now, young Donovan. He's 11. The problem we're facing right now is we're losing our children. Fathers, we need you. Can you feel me? But there's some dudes that are just like me. Every time you took a picture with you and your family, it was only two people, and it was supposed to be three. It was supposed to be me asking,
why the sky blue? When I grow up, I wanna be like you.
Yo, daddy, can you teach me how to
tie my shoes? Can I go with you to work so I can see what you do?
Let me see what you do so I can love my kids too. But you didn't stick around. Was that too much to ask of you? Too much to get a blueprint,
no.
Too much to show the way,
no.
That's the reason why this building is not finished till today.
Boy,
I don't wanna believe that
my dad is coming back, he didn't forget about me.
Like a child after school, we sit and we wait.
I know that you will come.
Take the whole nation. Responsibility, but it's a million of y'all and only one of me. What happened to the village, as far as I can see, has been burned down by this modern day slavery. Didn't get knocked up on her own. And I know that baby mama's drama brothers as well. But before you close the door, don't forget how it feels. Remember,
daddy missed my game and I made a touchdown. I wanted to tell the show, but you weren't around. If a girl breaks my heart, what I do with the pain?
And one more thing, daddy.
Can you tell me my name?
Yeah.
I need my daddy.
To EIESOC Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. I want to welcome tonight's listeners. Tonight we're talking about Chicago, a.k.a. Chirac, and the death toll. What's going on? Why are so many children dying? Why is it a war zone? Our call-in number is tonight is 424-589-271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. You can join in on tonight's discussion. I'm looking for callers from the south side of Chicago. If you hear me, please holler back. Also, the chat room is open. Feel free to use it. If you can't get in the chat room, you need to probably go to the site via Facebook or Twitter, and you can log into the chat room. If you still can't get in and you're on Facebook, send me a message, and I'll send you a link so you can get in. Again, tonight we're talking about the gun violence crisis in the south side of Chicago. Too many of our young men and women are dying by way of the gun, and there seems to be no end in sight. They're giving us all kind of mixed statistics in our inner cities in America of the murder rate. They're saying the murder rate is down, but the gun victims count is rising. I don't get it. If you help me out, tell me what's really going on. Call in 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue, and you can join us on tonight's discussion. I'm going to get this thing started. I'm going right to the phone lines. I got a brother on the phone lines. He's a parent. He's a father. He lives here in the New York City area. Okay. He's got a little story that I know that he's going to share with us tonight, so I'm not going to give you anything else, but I want you to help me welcome Brother Taylon to tonight's show. Good evening, Brother Taylon. Can you hear me?
Good evening. Good evening, Brother Nix. How are you doing, brother? How's everything?
Hey, I'm blessed, my brother.
Hello?
I'm blessed, man. Can you hear me? Hello,
yes,
Brother Taylon? Okay. Yeah,
yes,
I'm blessed, my brother. It's a pleasure to have you here, man. I know I got in touch with you kind of late. I reached out, you know, but I'm surely glad to have you here, man. You know, haven't seen you in a minute. I think we marched together a couple of years ago. We were down in the Baisley Housing. Okay, you brothers did a few speeches. Yeah. You know, that was a powerful moment, man. You know, that's the kind of impact we need in our communities to make stuff happen. Tonight we're talking about Chicago, but before we do, my brother, let my audience know who you are, what you've been through, and we'll go from there.
Hi, my name is Taylon Murphy. I'm the founder of Tayshauna Chicken Murphy Foundation. My daughter Tayshauna, she was a nationally ranked high school basketball star. She was also a playground legend in the New York City area. She was gunned down on September 11th. Of 2011, and since then, man, I've been out on the front line, just, you know, stepping up my efforts as far as fighting this gun violence thing and striving to be an antidote to some of the ills in our community, you know. We've been through two grueling trials in the last 3 years. Yesterday happened to be, she would have been 21 yesterday, and she was cut down due to gang violence, man. I mean, you have two housing developments uptown in Harlem, Grant in Manhattanville. She was shot down in Grant in the hallway of a building behind an ongoing beef that's been 40 years in the making up there on the west side of Harlem. So, like I said, you know, and from this incident, man, I became an advocate against gun and gang violence, as well as an activist, and I'm very active in the community and in New York City and abroad as well.
My brother, first of all, I never got a chance to, officially give you my heartfelt condolences. You know, I know that it has to be trying on you mentally and probably physically, my brother, but you have stood up like a true soldier, man, as an example of what we need to do in our communities, man. Your daughter, an inspiring basketball player, you know, gone in the prime, you know, in the prime of her growing up, you know, we can't have no more of that in our communities, and we got to make a stand to stop it, by any means necessary, as far as I'm concerned. I know that there has just been some closure because they just sentenced the shooter to 25 years to life, I believe. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He just got through the trial. He just sentenced on Wednesday, and this last
correct.
Week that just passed. And actually today, you know, my daughter would have been 21 today, you know. We did a big event out in Queensbridge Housing Development, which is actually the biggest housing complex in the nation. And, I mean, we had a peaceful event yesterday. The young people stayed out, shot videos instead of shooting guns. We let candles go. Yeah, at 12 to bring in her birthday, because her birthday is actually the day. We barbecued, we cooked out, no incidents, no gunfire. And I think the key to a lot of things, man, is teaching these young people how to be individuals, man, and also engaging in them. You know, a lot of times, man, we don't engage with our youth and really know what's really happening. We don't stay in tune. And key to my success with dealing with them is basically just staying in tune, man. Staying in tune and dealing with them, man. We fed over 300 people yesterday out here in Long Island City in Queensbridge, and we also had about 150 people on the basketball court letting balloons fly away. One of the courts that my daughter used to play on out here. So I mean, just you know, we just gotta be persistent, man. And you know, we all have a special talent to give. And we all got a special gift to becoming the immune system to this health crisis, which is on gun and gang violence.
Wow. Yeah, I know there was a lot of love for her out at, in the Queensbury Projects in Long Island City, New York. You know, I'm quite sure quite some folks that I know were there, like Brother Sugar Ray, who I know you know.
Yes, sir.
You know, if we can have events like that, you know, and stay consistent, you know, change happens, you know. My thing, you know, is we show up too much for death more than we show up for life. And we got to start being more consistent and showing up for life. And one of the ways is what you just talked about, talking to the youth. And staying consistent with talking with them, not just one time, staying consistent in talking with them. And I know everybody's not built to do that. You know, I get it. But those that are, we need you. We need you. You know, we're in a state of emergency when it comes to our youth and young adults. Okay? They need somebody that's going to listen to them, not talk at them, but they need you to listen to them and then you talk to them. Not talk at them, because they got issues. They're coming from a lot of different backgrounds. And if you really can't identify where they're coming from, you won't really understand. But I know there's a lot of men out there who come from backgrounds just like theirs, who have made it through the prisons, the drug addiction, and all of that, and they're productive members of society today. These are the cats we need. These are the cats we need, because the youth will listen. The youth will listen to them because they'll know that they've been where they at, and they want to know, well, how did you do what you needed to do to become a productive member of society? And
also, Tony, can I chime in real quick?
Sure.
Man, we gotta look for, out of the box. We gotta start doing critical thinking outside of the box.
We
got to start using different strategies and different tactics, man. We're really in a war, you know, and we're really in a spiritual war, and we have to do things to kind of culturally shock these young people. For example, I'll just give you an example. After the first trial that we had, that we went through,
mm-hmm.
This is just going to be short, Tony.
It's okay.
The parent, of the young man that got convicted, because it was two trials, you know that. It was three code offenders. One got away. That was the guy that was supposedly had gave the gun to the other two individuals, gave guns to the other two individuals. And the other two got convicted. But the first young man that got convicted, I mean, the trial was so heartfelt and so senseless, man. The killing was so senseless. I call it an execution. It was so senseless, man, that this mother reached across the aisle to me and said, listen, you know, I've been looking for you. I've been meaning to try to get in touch with you. I've been trying to get to somebody that knows you so we can sit down. And I want to come out and promote peace with you. And, I mean, it took me by surprise. Actually, Tony, you know, you seen us stand together at Andrew Jackson Campus Magnus High School, you know, at an event. And we came together, man, and we started doing these events, and we started, like, attacking this thing from both sides of the gun. Because what I think these young people need to know is that, you know, not only does the person's family who suffered the physical loss hurts, also that family of the person, the perpetrator, hurts as well, you know, the perpetrator in the attack. So I mean, even with that, we did a talk down at Pitt Street, Grand Street Settlement, and this woman, man, you know, the young man's mother, the young man's mother, she came out, man, and she brought her granddaughter out. And there was some young kids there, and her granddaughter actually started speaking with me from that day. From that day on, her granddaughter's been speaking with me, too, you know, in front of the young people. And to hear from young people, another young person, that bad things happen, but it's the way you deal with the bad things to move forward and use them as building blocks, man, was like the most powerful thing in the world. And I'm talking about Zaniah is about 10, 11 years old. So, I mean, you know, those are the type of things that we got to do to make these, you know, get these kids to understand, man, that, you know, what you're doing to yourself, man, is just pure genocide. And we can change it, man, but we got to think out the, we got to start thinking out the box and thinking with different tactics, man. And that's just the point, one of the main points I wanted to make.
Good points. I'm in agreement 110%, and I like the way that you illustrated the fact that not only does the victim grieve, but the parents of the shooters, they grieve also, because they have to live with the fact that their child took someone's life, and you know, I commend that mother and her family for reaching out. You know, I know that's not an easy thing to do, and for you to be open to them reaching out is big, because I'm quite sure there's some parents that, you know, they're not trying to hear that. You know, they're not, but it helps when there's a mindset like yourself that can be open to the fact of some sincere, I don't want to say guilt, but sorrow, you know. I forgive, you know, to be forgiving, that's the word I'm looking for, you know, and I hear it in what you're saying, you know, you know, because there's, you know, like yourself, you know who the perpetrators were, you know, but there are so many parents who have lost their son or daughter, and the shooter is still on the loose, and the people in the community know who it is and won't tell. You know, that's a big issue. That's a big issue. We're going to get to it. But before we move on, have you been keeping up with what's going on in Chicago?
Yeah, I've been keeping up with what's going on in Chicago, man. And, you know, I think it's just an atrocity, man. I done heard rumors, and there's been articles out about, you know, law enforcement being involved, like you said earlier, as well as, political corruption as well. And like I said, you know, I didn't see anything in black and white, you know, but I know there's been rumors out there. And, I mean, looking at the history of Chicago, you know, when you go back to Al Capone and the gangsters, and, you know, we do know there's been a history of, you know, political corruption there. So, I mean, that whole situation over there, and then plus with the gang culture, which is very different than how it is here in New York, you know, it's just a rough thing that they're going through out there. You know, I think violence is manufactured, just like poverty is manufactured, you know, and the poverty, I think, you know, tends to fuel the violence, poverty, as far as, and drug turf, drug wars. From what I'm understanding, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of conflict there, you know, dealing with the demographics of splitting the city up. You know, a lot of it has to do with making money. But what I must say is that you do have cure violence, you know, which used to be ceasefire out there, and they're striving to do a good job, man, to cut down the numbers, man. But I mean, Chicago is just a whole different beast than New York, you know. It's pretty much the same thing going on, but just a different beast, man.
Yeah, for real. For real. We're going to take a small break. I'm going to screen, see who we got on the line. Don't you go nowhere, brother. I'm going to put your mic on mute, but stay with us, please, if you have the time. We're going to take a small break.
Okay.
We'll be right back right after this.
Back on the block again with the same crew. Tariq from the west side, Little John from the avenue. Always seen them about a quarter to two, shaking hands with everybody, but at the same time sharing the blues. And oh, how he passed it on, shaking hands until what was in his pockets was gone. He'd be outside in the cold with his bubble goose on. But inside, somehow I knew it wasn't warm. Around 10:30, they were hungry, wanted to get a bite. Now they didn't send a runner. Rasul knew it wasn't right, but he stayed anyway, trying to get the chain he likes. And oh, how the shots rang in the street, hitting everybody in the surrounding vicinity. One young father to be, and Rasul lay dead on my North Philly was the first death I'd seen. But in years to come, there'll be many, many brothers slain, trying to win at the game. But the game ain't designed for no kind of winning. Ooh. And oh, this is a friend of Rasul begging you. Rasul of you. You don't want that. You don't want that. You don't want that. You don't. You don't. You don't. You don't. You don't want that. When I was 15 years old, in the course of a summer, I saw my friends die one by one. Everybody was caught up. You know, I understand the hustle. I understand everybody want to make money. You know, everybody needs it. But there is a price that is too high. The quick money that comes in lines the pocket. However, it also kills the community. And that is unforgivable. I know that my brothers don't bring this shit in this hood. I know. And I know it's hard to make money and things ain't really good. And I know sometimes you can't seem to find a way out, but believe there is always a different road to go. This song is in direct correlation with the song that I sang earlier. That song is called I Need You. I'm talking to you, men. I'm talking to you, brothers. You are so necessary. Our children get all caught up, you know, looking at that TV screen, and it's all these fancy and flashy things, and, you know, some people can afford that, some people can't, and that's just the way it is. You got to live in your means, you know? Live where you live. So it is your responsibility, it is our responsibility as adults. If you're over 18 and you got common sense, you have something to offer. If you've read a book, you've got something to offer. If you've taken a walk or put on one shoe at a time, you got something to offer. It is snatching them up so they know they're not invisible, letting them know that they are valuable. Our little ones, our young ones, our lost ones. I just wanted to share that with you. Thank you for listening. Woo.
Listening to EIESOC Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. That was Jill Scott talking about little brother Rasul. Tonight, we're talking about Chicago, a.k.a. Chi-Rac, and the crisis of gun violence in the south side of Chi-Town. What the hell is going on over there? Why is the killing seem to increase? Every weekend there's a body count of 20 or more, I believe, this weekend. So far, the body count has been 2 dead, 22 wounded since Friday afternoon. What is going on in Chicago? Someone please help me out here. Calling number tonight is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue, and I'll bring you in on tonight's discussion. It seems that gunplay is the flavor in Chicago, and it's been like that for quite some time. You got headlines like pregnant Chicago woman allegedly kills boyfriend over failure to buy a gift. What kind of thinking is going on in the south side of Chicago? Also, I don't know who this individual is, but they call her Little Snoop. Okay, it has been alleged that she has had killed two in a tit-for-tat violence now being celebrated by the record industry. What the hell is going on with our youth? Please let me know. Tell me what you think. Calling number is 424-258-9271, or leave your comments and thoughts in the chat room, which is open. If you can't get in, you may have to try to log in via Facebook or Twitter, or if you send me a message, I'll send you the link to get into the chat room. Again, we're talking about Chicago and the crisis of gun violence to youth and young adults who are committing genocide by way of homicide. I'm going to go to the phone lines, bringing a brother out of Brooklyn, New York, a good friend of mine, and that's Brother Don Swiss. Can you hear me, bro?
Yes. Yes, I can. Good Thank evening. You, brother, for introducing me. I appreciate that.
Thank you for
Hello,
being here.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can
yes,
hear you
sir.
Clearly. Can you? Yes, okay.
About that, it's crazy how we have a society that embraces negativity. If anybody remembers the girl Snoop, she was in the movie. She was in on HBO, The Wire.
Oh, really?
She played yeah. If that's Snoop, if that's the girl they talking about, yeah, she was on The Wire on HBO, and it's so crazy how, you know, what I mean, they try to live up to the, I guess, the pedigree that these roles that they play. Now, she's been caught up with a lot of nonsense in Chicago, and I guess I'm not surprised that she got caught up in this. I'm not even surprised, man. It's just so crazy how, like, I come from a family. I've had a cousin pass away a few years ago because he was associated with Bloods. As we all know, Chicago is known for the whole blood thing. But in you know, and I know in Chicago, you know, the gang element is so heavy in Chicago. And I speak to a lot of young cats out here, and I be telling them, you guys don't know nothing about the gang situation once you leave New York, because it gets real crazy once you go to places like Chicago, L.A., Little Rock, Arkansas, where the gang violence is serious, man. It's real serious. And then I remember, I think when Obama won the first election, I think it was either the first one or the second one. There was a little girl that was in at his inauguration. She was killed, I think, 2 weeks later. And guess where she was from? Chicago. By a stray bullet. Did you know about that?
Yes, I remember. She was in the inauguration celebration.
Yep.
She was marching, and I believe the very next day, she was shot and killed. Yes, I do recall.
And she was in the schoolyard, and two young cats came in, and he was actually shooting at somebody else, and she caught it, and she got hit by a stray bullet. I mean, I just don't know what's going on, man. And I'm sure, just from speaking to various people, speaking to family members, what's going on in Chicago is extreme. But the same thing is going on here in New York, because what you have is you have a lot of these gangs out here. What they're doing now is they're not really doing a lot of the gang stuff. What they're doing is these young guys out here in the street, Chicago, New York, L.A., oh, man, New Jersey is getting crazy too. Camden, New Jersey, Newark, What they do, really? The gangs are using, yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm saying really. I didn't know.
Yeah, man. What it is a lot of gangs, Bloods, Crips, they're using the youngsters to do a lot of street stuff. So what's happening is a lot of these young guys are forming little crews that's affiliated with either Bloods or Crip. And that is exactly why the young guy, I'm from Bed-Stuy, by the way, and that young guy that shot the guy on the 15 bus stop was in my neighborhood. And that was over some inner city beef between two young crews that are from different projects that are probably like a block away from each other. But right now that's what's going on across the board. A lot of these gangs from a lot of these cities, especially like Chicago, a lot of these major gangs, the OGs are using the young guys to do their bidding, and they're forming little syndicates. To form, and it's crazy, and it's multiplying. You know what I'm saying? Like my whole life, my family, and even some of the OGs from back in the day, they kept me away from all of that. But now they're incorporating the youth involved in these gangs, and it's crazy. I mean, I don't know what's going on with that.
That's insane, Don. You know why? See, I come from the era of, you know, hoodlums and gangsters ran the streets. And there was street rules that you had to abide by. Okay? Today, there's no rules. See, in my time, you didn't recruit children, you didn't sell children drugs, and there was safe passage in the community. Okay? For the children, for the elderly, okay? Because if you broke them rules, okay, someone would find you somewhere, alleyway, wherever, okay? Today, there are no rules. And I really believe, you know, rules need to be implemented, okay? Too many people, babies especially, are getting hit by gunfire that's not meant for them. And, you know, these shot callers, gang leaders, whoever, need to hold their shooters accountable. They need to hold them accountable, okay? If you don't hit your mark and you hit somebody else, you need to be held accountable for that, all right? That doesn't prevent gun violence as a whole, but it will prevent innocent folk from getting shot. I believe that will be part of the process of prevention because too many innocent folk is getting shot. Too many.
Indeed.
Okay, and then, you know, you talked about, you know, the different crews, you know, that be going at it. And, you know, the thing is, see, a lot of folks, you know, I like the way you broke it down. A lot of folks be thinking it's rival gang, you know, gang rivalry. And that ain't what it is. It's this crew over here or this set over here, but they still Bloods or they still Crips.
Yep.
You know, they fighting over drug war, drug turf, money, whatever the case may be. But it's not rival gang war.
What's even more so crazy, and I saw this in prison when I worked in prison, you have blood sets, different blood sets, like you got non-tray or whatever the case may be. You got different blood sets beefing with each other, killing each other. You know what I'm saying? It goes on in the street, and it goes on inside prison. And it baffles me. It totally baffles me. See, Chicago... probably now it's like how Brooklyn used to be, or even Queens. Most of the inner cities here in New York used to be like Chicago probably in the 80s and 90s when I was coming up, maybe pretty much in the 90s. But now with Chicago's economy so crazy, so low, jobs is like the unemployment rate in Chicago is crazy right now. So all these young, all the youth, all the teenagers and stuff like that, all they can do is just roam the streets. So a lot of them are joining gangs, and that's what's happening. These little gangs are affiliating themselves with either Bloods or Crips. They're selling drugs, they're getting guns, and they're just shooting each other. They're just killing each other left and right. And then that's like how back in the days Brooklyn used to be called Brooknob. I'm sure you heard that before, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So now, So when these young cats, they hear the name back in the, I know when I was coming, you hear Brook Norm, you know, these young cats figure they got to live up to that name. You know, this is Brook Norm, Brook Norm. You know what I mean? So
right.
now,
right.
these young cats in Chicago, they hear Chirac. Yeah, we got a rep for Chirac. So they want to uphold that name. So the more violence that goes on, the more how real they show by shooting or gunning another person down, this is Chirac. Don't come through Chirac with that. And that's what's happening. That is exactly
what's happening. The promotion of negativity. The promotion of negativity. And I'm going to tell you, you know, it's killing our kids. It's killing our kids. You know, these cats is trying to get street creds. You know, and they're not living long enough to even get street creds. Okay? What's happening to them, I know, is designed by the society that we live in. Okay? There's a group of folks who feel like, yeah, let them kill themselves off. You know, and those that don't die, we'll use them in the new Jim Crow agenda. Okay?
Yep.
See, there's a plan here, and I don't know if it's being shared amongst those in Chicago that, you know, it's a setup. It's all a setup. The music industry plays a part.
Totally.
Entertainment, movies, all of that plays a big, big, big part in this, you know. And who's in the music industry? You know, we're talking about the negative rappers. Okay, who are helping sell an illusion, because that's what it is. They sell an illusion to these youngsters about a life of sex, drugs, and violence, and disrespect for females. And these kids, they're soaking it up. They're soaking it up. They're soaking it up because that's all they're being given. They're not being given anything else but that. Anything mm-hmm. else but that. And you know, when you talk about the music industry and what they, if Jay-Z, 50 Cent, Lil Wayne and them started talking about pull up your pants, them pants is coming up, okay? Because that's the new thing popping. All right, they're talking about respect for your woman. All right, so respect will start to be applied to our females. But then at the same time, we got to look at who the music industry is ran by. And do they want that kind of message put out there? No, they don't.
No, sir.
No, they don't. The more negative, the more it is. Because there's a lot of garbage rappers out there who, for me, got no business with a mic in their hand. All right, but they're getting contracts. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. They're getting contracts, okay, because they're helping with the genocide of young black youth and young adults.
It's
you know,
there's
a method to the madness. There's a method to the madness here. And I'm, for the life of me, now, if I know this, I know folks, there got to be some folks in Chicago that know the same thing. You know, you got Minister Farrakhan, you know, that's their home base. Where's FOI? Now, I heard they're out there, you know, but what are they doing? Because, you know, it's time to put the newspaper down and the bean pies, all right, and get out there in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be there for window dressing. Get out there in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because these kids need some direction. Exactly. You know? Exactly. You know, Chicago, you know, is on fire. Chicago is on fire. All right. Every weekend, the body count is high. And that we don't even know if that's the true numbers. Okay? But every weekend during the week, and the senseless killing. I saw a video that a young woman posted, you know, and she's living in fear. She's talking about, is my child next? Because the killing is just, you know, insane. They're killing for nothing. They're killing over foolishness. You know, they have no respect for life, no self-love. It's a lot of self-hate. okay? No respect for themselves or others, because they're being shown by folks that either live by the gun or die by the gun. And, you know, that's the wrong message. That is the totally wrong message, Don. You know, my first caller, he had to go. You know, but here in New York, we still have a violence issue. Don't anybody be fooled by what you read, because they're lying. They're lying. I get a report every day of the shooting in the New York City area. And every borough, there's some kind of shooting going on. You know, you talk about Brooklyn. Brooklyn right now, you know, is leading. You know, Brooklyn is, we used to call it back, you know, you said the name. We used to call Brooklyn Gunsmoke, okay? It was like, yep. Okay, we're going to Brooklyn. All right, you know how we got to roll up in there, okay?
Yep.
But it was nothing like what it is today, okay? Brownsville is off the chain. Huh?
You know those rappers, right? Bucktown, Smith
right.
and Wesson, that's what they, that's what Brownsville, used to, and that's what Brooklyn was, excuse me, used to be called Bucktown.
Yeah, well, Brownsville right now has a high rate of homicide, okay?
Oh, man.
Chicago, it breaks my heart to read about this. You know, and I know there's activists out there. I know some of them. And I know they must be having the hardest time. Because, see, what helps in preventing more death is community involvement. But the communities are living in fear. They don't want to get involved. They don't want to. And there's something they said that this woman said in her video. She said, you know, I'm tired of people not wanting to get involved until it knocks on their door, and then they want to grab a sign and say, stop the violence. I get it, sis, and I hear you. You're absolutely right. You got to step out there and be lion-hearted and go in fearless. You got to go in fearless because too many kids is dying. Too many kids is dying. I'm going to go to the phone line, going to the West Coast, and I'm going to bring in Brother Doc.
Yes, sir.
Good evening, Doc. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Welcome to tonight's show.
Thank you, brother. I'm listening.
So what's your view on Chicago, Doc? Because, I mean, it is way over the top, man. Way over the top.
Well, the young brother that was talking, you've knocked the ball out of the park again, and the brother was right on. I'm out here in L.A., and Brother Tony, you know some of the stuff that's happening in my wife and our lives right now when it comes to gun violence and what we've been trying to do for 12 years here in L.A., and some of the people talk about gangs and stuff, and until you live it, I think you can talk about it all day long, and you could write books about it, but until you experience it in your life, you don't really understand the real deal about it. It's different when you're working with it and working with these folks, and the young brother really hit it on the head. There's a new thing that's out there with these young kids. There's not any code with them that there used to be with the gangsters that came up. There used to be a code, and that was there are certain things you didn't do with kids. You didn't have kids selling drugs. You didn't bring it to your block, and all that sort of stuff. That code is gone. You have kids killing kids. There's this illusion that this block is ours, and that kind of crazy stuff. And I think a friend of mine came by today, and we were talking. I think when you had the influx of crack and coke, I think all the rules changed. There weren't any rules. And I think we're in trouble. And there's somebody that's benefiting from this. And I think we have buried our head in the sand, and we continue to wait for Superman to come in and get us out of this, and it's not going to happen. And we're flushing ourselves down the tube, and I don't know what's going to happen. There's not anyone that's going to come and save us out of this dilemma, and we're missing it. You're going to have to start with the young folks to get them to understand what's happening, and I really do believe that they want change, and my wife and I work with this group of folks, and they do want change. I can tell you unequivocally they want change because we work with them. We know that they want change. And Tony, there's something I want to bring up. There's something I've been wanting to talk to for years, and it seems like everybody talks about, I hear this over and over again, and it seems like they keep saying that you aren't credible unless you have a prison record and you've gone to prison and blah, 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 blah. I say phooey on that. I think when you go out there with a good heart and you let these young brothers and sisters know that you care, I think caring and being aware of what's going on and let you know that you're going to be there, I think there's some respect that comes there, and there's some credibility that you can build up that really works. And we've gotten a lot of, turned a lot of young folks' lives around with that. But you've got to be there and work every day. It's work. And you got to do it every day, and you just got to hit the ground running, and you got to be open. But it's about saving lives, and if you're not willing to do it, get out. But we don't find very many people that are willing to do it. And it's sad.
Well, Doc, that's a good point you're making, because you know they're looking at the adults.
That's right.
Okay. Now, a lot of the adults, their lives are unmanageable, let me say that. They're not being very good examples. And those that can step up and be good examples are either don't want to be bothered or they're too afraid to. They're afraid of being killed themselves.
Yep.
Just by reaching out. There's a big fear factor, number one. And the youth is looking at those that are afraid, and then they're looking at those that are not even trying to help them. So, you know, they're feeling like, don't nobody care about us but us. All I got is my partner over here or my partner over there to lean on. You know, I've heard, you know, different youngsters that's gang affiliated, you know, and they say it. This is my fam. You know, I got no fam in the house I live in. You know, these cats out here is my fam. And I get that. I understand that. I can't bash them for it because they're coming out of unstructured homes. Okay? And they're looking for love, and they found it in the wrong place. You know, but that's all that they know. That is all that they know, because nobody's giving them something different. And they need something different. You know, I done heard all the, you know, let's go back to slavery and this and that. Yo, check this out. We live in right now. Right now, they need to know that their life is priceless, okay? They need to be taught critical thinking skills, the consequences.
That's right.
What, you know, they need to be asked about their hopes and dreams that they have given up on.
That's right.
You know, things of that nature, okay? To let them know, listen, things look bleak, but you have a choice. I'm here to tell you, you got a choice in spite of what you believe.
That's right. That's right. And Tony, you, what you're saying is absolutely right on the mark. And the change factor comes in just a few simple things that you said. Very, very simple. You don't have to be an Einstein to get this, and you don't have to be an Einstein to make a definite change in these folks' lives. And number one is this. You can find out very quickly, very rapidly, where these folks are at. And what we found is very quickly that when you ask them a few questions, what are your dreams? And most of the time, 99% of the time, is these folks, they don't have any dreams. No dreams. And exactly. It's not knocking them. Why would you have any dreams after coming up the way some of these folks are have come up? And so you tell them about that and say, hey, that's all right. But you tell them about having a family and you say, as intelligent as you are, because Kay and I think that it's intelligence, that these kids are intelligent to have made it as long as they have, that there are leaders, and we teach them about being leaders and about how they can build a family, because what you have to do is build a family. We want them to build a new family, because a lot of us came up without dads and without a healthy family, but you have a choice to build a healthy family. And so we teach them how to build a healthy family, and they can break away from the family that they have that's dysfunctional and build a functional family. Take those skills and build a healthy family, because their behavior is a function of belief systems, because that's what you said. And we teach them how to do that, because if you have something that you believe, the only way to change it is to change your belief system. And that's what we try to do, and that's what we can do, because if you believe something, you can relearn those skills. It's learning. It's all about learning. And that's what you have to do, is reteach these students, these people, how to rethink. How do I rethink this? Because, man, I'm telling you, each time they kill somebody, you kill something inside of you. And that's a behavior. And what we try to do is teach them how to care. Man, because if I can teach you how to care, I can change your behavior. But I got, you know, and caring is something, I can't teach you how to care, but I can teach you skills. I can't teach you how to care. And what they're trying to do is numb the feeling. That's why drugs are so good, because it numbs you. You don't have any feelings. And, man, I want you to feel. I do want you to feel. So those are my thoughts on the issue. But you're right on. I mean, what you said, and you're talking about what you wrote about being lion-hearted. We have to be lion-hearted again. And you got to be lion-hearted every day. And when you become lion-hearted, it is going to make you feel. You have exactly. to feel. You have exactly. to feel.
You know, you hit it on the head, you know. Folks have become insensitive to people dying, to children dying. Okay?
Yeah.
The perpetrators of it, they're totally insensitive of it. You know, for them, this
yeah.
is just regular living. You know, and
yeah.
this is insane. That's not regular living.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I've said this before. You know, we're born human. We're not born animals. You know, animals prey on one another to survive. Okay.
Yeah.
This is what we have lowered ourselves to. Okay, and that's wrong. That's wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
The value
that's
of
right.
life. The value of life is not a priority anymore. You know,
that's
it's
right.
given. It's, you know, life is priceless. It's a gift. It's a gift.
Yeah.
And this gift is being tossed away like you boil up a piece of paper and throw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you hit it. I mean, we have a cat, an 18-pound cat that looks like a panther, a black panther. And we've taught this cat to roll over. We taught this cat to go out on a leash. We've taught this cat to come on command. We've taught this cat to act like a puppy, and he acts like a puppy. So if we can teach this cat in less than a year to do those things, I mean, he acts just like a puppy. And a cat, and people say, well, cats don't do that. I said, come on now. If we can teach a cat to do that, I mean, come on.
I see, you know, there's too many reasons and excuses because, Doc, you know, you made something real clear that you got to deprogram in order to reprogram. You know, that is part of the process, whether a lot of folks know it or not. That is part of the process. You know, you got to deprogram. Yeah, because, you know, all that conditioned and, okay, I get all of that. I get,
right.
So we got to deprogram. We got to deprogram and reprogram.
Yeah.
That's a simple solution. You know, like you said, it's not rocket science. You don't need to be Einstein to know these things. Okay?
Right.
And yes, it is a process. Still at the same time, when do you begin to start it?
Yeah.
When do you begin
to start it? Well, it's like some of these kids that we work with, we go into their homes and they say, there's never been an educator that come to our own home. And I said, well, that's their fault.
Exactly.
They missed out on a couple of jokes. You know.
Well, you know, I see and I hear, you know, people have given up. People have given up. You know, it's every man and woman for themselves. Or like this young woman said, you know, when it knocks on your door, now you want to pick up a sign and say, stop the violence. And she said she's sick of it. Of it. South side of Chicago is insane. And I mean, I heard the anger. I mean, she was tearful in the video, tearful and angry. She said, I can't take my kids nowhere. I can't go to the store. We can't go to the park because we may get shot.
Yeah.
You know, and this is in Chicago. This is in Chicago, and they're promoting violence. Violence is being promoted,
right?
More than prevention is being promoted,
right?
People got to come out their houses. They got to have mass action, as far as I'm concerned, in Chicago, okay? Because see, you know what? Some of the folks in the community, these are your children that are out there doing the shooting, and you know,
right.
You know,
right.
And I know that some of these youngsters, they were born into these gangs. They were born into the violence.
That's right.
See, I get that part.
And the parents allowed it. They thought it was cute. They let the kids sag their pants. They thought all that stuff was cute. They reinforced that behavior and all of that stuff. That was cute, you know, and now it's come back to bite them. I look on Facebook from where I was born in my hometown, and some of my family members, and we've had a few generations of them. And I remember one family in particular where they allowed their sons to fight. And I remember the parents, when their kids would get into fights, the father would say, sick 'em. And isn't
like
that
dog.
An interesting term?
Like dog.
And isn't that interesting? And I was telling one of the guys that was talking about the one parent, the mother, and saying how, what a fantastic lady she was. And so I called him on the phone. I said, hey, man, you know, I read your post and stuff, but here's my perspective on this family. And I don't have the same perspective, and I'm putting it in a book. And I'm saying, this family, I said, now let me give you some history. You know, the oldest sibling is in a hospital, still in a mental hospital, because he shot one of our friends. And then he's also there because he killed three people, and one of the other guys, you know, violent, that went to jail and blah blah blah. So don't tell me about this family and what nice people they are. And then, you know, and they're saying, well, don't talk about the dead. I'm saying, that's crap. Let's put the truth out there. You hear what I'm saying? And
right.
we have this issue with, well, let's don't share our dirty laundry. You know, this is crap. Let's put the truth out there and finally start looking at the issues and start talking the truth. We need to put this stuff out there and deal with it. Look at what's happening in Chicago. It's happening in New York. It's happening in L.A. We have not dealt with our issues. I look at my own family. I looked on Facebook today, and they're talking about my uncle. He was a worthless human being in life, and he died the same way, worthless. He was not a good human being. He was a thug.
Well, Doc, you know, they talk about, and you hear this a lot, you know, we have no leadership. People of color have no leadership. Well, in order for us to have leaders for tomorrow, we got to keep them alive, okay?
Thank you.
Because there's some thinkers out there. There's some cats with some intelligence out there. It just needs to be nurtured, all
right?
It needs to be nurtured. And like I said, this is done by design. There's a method to the madness, okay? And it is truly, truly past due for a wake-up. What does it take? You know, our enthusiasm is always at a high level when it seems to be a racist killing or, you know, a situation like Trayvon and Jordan and others, you know, Sean Bell here in New York. You know, in situations like that, our enthusiasm level reaches like way over the top. But what's going on in places like Chicago, I think every city in the nation should be in an uproar about what's going on in Chicago.
Yeah, but
they call
it's
it
not.
Chicago Chi-Rat, Doc. They don't even call it Chicago. It's Chi-Rat. This is a war.
Hey, wait a minute, man. That's not important. We got bigger issues out here in California with Donald Sterling, man.
Oh, come on, Doc.
Okay,
you got to be kidding me. That's a distraction. That's a distraction from the crisis in Chicago. Okay,
hey, man.
They sent in the feds, okay, about 2 weeks ago. Well, what are the feds doing? Because from where I'm standing and from what I'm seeing and hearing, they are surely not making a difference.
Yeah, but
they are surely not making a difference.
We don't. You answered it just when you were talking just a few moments ago. Critical thinkers, think about this. And you and I were talking a couple years ago when the head of the KKK or the Aryan Nation said that they didn't have to worry about us anymore because at the rate that we were going to kill ourselves off.
That's the agenda. Let them kill each other. Let them see. As long as it's in the urban communities, let it happen. See, it starts reaching suburbia. Starts reaching suburbia. Be some changes made. Okay, there be some changes made. You know where what we focus on in our own backyard is just not enough for me. Just not enough. And, you know, you brought it up, Sterling. You know, right now, you know, the flavor right now that I'm seeing, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but they're talking about the girls that were taken, and I believe that's Nigeria, you know, about 200 children were taken, which is all good, okay? Let's put some focus on it. But let's not forget about what's happening in Chicago. These kids are wiping each other out. What about that? What about this is what I'm talking about where our focus is, Doc. See, when it's home, let's not focus on home. Let's focus on somewhere else or something else.
Well,
never mind
easier.
What's happening right in our own backyard. our kids killing each other on a daily basis. Babies dying. Come on. Come on. And then, you know, we're angry. We're angry with everybody except ourselves. You know, and, you know, people get on me, you know, why don't you stop bashing us? I'm not trying to bash. I'm trying to wake you up. Just tell me you don't want to be woke up. Tell me you want to stay asleep.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. Now when you got it right here in your own backyard, what you doing? Where's the church? Where y'all at? Where's the church? Listen.
What church?
Listen, Chicago needs help. I could see them putting the National Guard out there and treating them kids, them youngsters, like insurgents, okay, having a curfew, and they're going to be out there just waiting.
Well, I'll tell you where the church is at. Let me give you my short answers for where the church is at so you can go ahead and rest easy, and maybe you might want to join them. They're on their knees, okay? Why don't you send them some knee pads?
I can get with the praying, Doc. I can understand, but, you know, I'm a believer of prayer with no action.
Yeah, okay.
Come on, you got to make it happen too,
but there's a difference between prayer and what's the other thing that I say? You pray. There's something about prayer. I understand prayer. But there's something about putting something into action. Get off your ass and do something.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, prayer is powerful. You know, you may be praying that your family isn't a casualty. Okay, I understand that. You know, I pray to keep my family safe. At the same time, you know,
I learned not to say
selfish prayers. You know, I learned to say prayers for those who need prayer. You know, who need protection. Because I'm sorry, you know, some of them folks out there, they don't have a God conscience. They don't have any spirituality. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So somebody got to do it for them, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I do. But you definitely got to get involved. You got to get involved. It's about getting involved. And even if it's on a small level, just get involved. You know, I had a situation here. Let me tell you, this past week, a couple of individuals was attempting to kidnap little girls, you know, the ages of 11, 10, 9, like that, right? And I was on the block of where they attempted to kidnap an 11-year-old. And I was talking to some of the residents about it. You know, one of the ladies who saw them when they attempted, you know, and got their license plate, and another lady knocked on the young girl's door to get her parents alerted to what was happening. And, you know, these guys drove off. Then they proceeded to go about 10 blocks away, and they approached a group of young girls, but they got away, you know, and one of them ran for help. But long story short, while I was speaking to the resident about what had happened, guess who decided to come back and try it again? Right? I couldn't believe it, Doc. Because while we were talking, you know, the lady said, wait a minute, that's them. And it was me and another guy. We turned around. But as I turned around, there was an unmarked police car behind these individuals, because they were in a green Jeep Cherokee. And they must have known that the police were behind them, so they tried to pull to the curb so the cops could go by, but the cops were boxing them in. Because they pulled right behind them, jumped out, guns out, approached the vehicle, and as they were doing that, another unmarked car came around the corner, and they apprehended them, you know. And I got to tell you, folks were outside, especially men. And this is a block where I know kids be outside because no kids were outside that day. But some of the fathers saw that the detectives had apprehended these individuals, and it was about to get ugly. It was really about to get ugly because these guys came out, you know, I got children who play out here, and, they were already angry at the fact that they attempted to take one of the child, but they couldn't believe that these guys came back.
Yeah.
And they were only, the age were, I believe, 17 and 18. Young Latino kid and a young black kid. Yeah, yeah. You know, and what I liked about the whole thing is the whole block came out. The whole block. They didn't care who, what. They were fearless. They were fearless.
Yeah.
And even the commander from the precinct sent out a note, and he wanted to thank the community for being involved, for getting involved, and helping in the apprehension of the two individuals. See, this is what we need to do on a consistent basis. Protect your block. Protect your children. You know, let folks know, I don't care who, what, we ain't having it.
Right.
We are not having it.
Right.
That's the bottom line. This living in fear, no. No, we don't have to do that. We got a choice. Because let me tell you something. They sure can't kill us all. They sure can't kill us all. And we need to start pushing the message of we are not afraid.
Yeah.
We are not afraid.
And I think that's the message. I think you hit it right there. And somebody has to start. And, yeah, they can kill us, but you can't kill us all. And if you do kill us, you can't eat us. And if you do, you ain't going to like the taste. So that's where I'm at, too.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. You know,
hey, brother, I'm going to have to
This is what we got to do. This is what we got to do. We got to make it happen. You know, Chicago needs help. Chicago needs help. You know, and this should be, attention should be brought to it nationwide. Nationwide.
Right on. Right
nationwide,
on.
You know, because it's just too many youth and young adults and innocent victims dying by way of the gun. You know, by way
right
of the gun. I'm going to take a short break, Doc. I'm glad you came to be with us. Then I'm going to go back to the phone line. All right, so let me grab a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Only you have made my bad days turn good. You was the only one that put a smile on my face. You was the one that I knew I can always come to when I was down, and no, I saw you in the crib. I'll have a smile again. I thank Most High for you, because without you, I don't know what I would do. Man, I feel good just to be a father. Be a father, man, it's no better feeling in the world. And I have to do my part to make sure that you have a part. I know that to be true. I love you. I thank Most High for you every day that you're mine.
For my son.
Creation. for.
Only God, I feel for your mercy, I cherish a great
fame and glory come and go. The love of people come and go. I pray for kind and gentle imagination. Me, you.
In your everyday travels, you gotta like glide, man. You gotta like glide through it, because there's a lot of ills going on in the world, man. And you be having a choice, though. You know what I mean? On what you really want to do. You want to go that route or not?
SOC Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. Tonight, we were talking about Chicago, a.k.a. Chirac, the death toll, the rates of homicides that is producing genocide. Youth and young adults slaying one another. Have they become insensitive to the taking of another one's life? Chicago is on fire, and they need help out there. Our calling number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. I really expected a lot more callers than what I got tonight. I reached out to some folk in Chicago who said they were going to call in, but for whatever reason they did not call in, because I definitely want to hear from folk from the south side of Chicago. Chat room, want to welcome those that were in the chat room. Thank you for being part of tonight's discussion. Also, I want to thank Doc for his view and also Brother Taylon who called in earlier. But I'm going to go back to my phone line. I'm going to go back to Brooklyn and bring back Brother Don Swiss. Don, you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you for holding, man. Wow, you know, Doc said a lot. You know, Chicago is right here in the good U.S. of A, you know, and, you know, we get distracted with stupid stuff like he mentioned Donald Sterling, you know, or other stuff that really doesn't matter as much as our youth and young adults slaughtering each other and painting their communities the color red by their blood. You know, to me, there is nothing with higher priority than that in this nation. Nothing. And what's going on in Chicago, for as far as I'm concerned, is just not getting the attention that it deserves.
Exactly. Just like how when the Blood and Crips were killing each other left and right in L.A., because I have family from California. I know Brother Doc is from L.A. He's out there in L.A. doing what he do. And, you know, back in those times, you know, there was a huge outcry to end the gang violence with the Bloods and the Crips in L.A. Right now we need the same thing in Chicago, man, because it's just for people to say, for a woman to say that she's scared to go to the park with her kids, it's like you're living hostages. What makes it different, and that's why they call it Chirac. And these kids hear that name, Chirac, like, yeah, this is Chirac. We got to represent. So they're taking it and running with it, thinking it's positive, but yo, you're destroying your own communities. And on top of that, like I said, you know, me, you, and a few other people, we can sit here and say X, Y, and Z, but what are the parents? Are the parents getting involved? Are the parents willing to come out and speak about it?
Well, see, that's, you know, the parents, some of the parents are part of the problem. Because as I said a moment ago, you know, as I said a moment ago, some of these youngsters are born into this.
Yep.
Okay, they're the offsprings of those who already in this. Okay,
yep.
And they're being breeded to commit further violence.
Yep.
You know, so you know, we can blame the parents, but I realize this whole issue, you know, they're breeding more and more violent individuals.
Yeah,
you know, this is major. This is major, okay. And I know economy and poverty, all that plays a part, but it's all done by design. You know, Let's make them desperate. You know, make them feel like victims, so they'll victimize each other. You know, this is all part of the plan. This is all part of the plan, and they got to wake up. They got to wake up because they're asleep.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
They're hypnotized.
Yeah.
You know, you said it. Like that word, Chirac, that's like a trigger. You know, the Manchurian candidate, Chirac. Yeah, represent. Guns
blazing. It's so crazy because I remember when I was in high school. I went to Boys and Girls High School out here in Brooklyn, and this was during the Brooklyn. This was during the Brooklyn days. You remember the Trapper Keepers? I had a friend. He bought a Tech 9 to school. So I'm. He's like, "Yo, Swizz," because everybody calls me Swizz. So he's like, "Yo, come in the bathroom real quick." So I go in the bathroom. He had a Tech 9 inside the Trapper Keepers. It had the clips. We know when you put the pencils and erasers and stuff. He had the clips right in there. And I just was like, wow. And he was like, yeah, this is Brooklyn. You know, this is what it is. Whatever. I'm like, I just looked at him just astonished. Like, you know what I'm saying? So when you see these, I could just imagine with these teenagers. A lot of these teenagers, how I've seen it from my experiences, I'm sure a lot of young cats in Chicago, they know it's wrong, but they're scared. They gotta they have fear because they feel like they gotta follow the crowd, the in crowd, because they don't want to be looked at as
protect themselves. Or not even, that's a factor. I'm not gonna deny that. But at the same time, the degree of gun violence that's going on in Chicago, they feel like I got to have a gun to protect me.
To protect myself, exactly. And that's why a lot of young cats got guns. Too.
Exactly. Yeah, that's All of those factors, because we're coming up short in promoting a different message. You know, we're coming up short. These kids are getting their hands on weapons like going to the store to get a lollipop, okay? And I've heard the argument, oh, we don't make the guns. No, we don't make the guns. But somebody's flooding our communities with weapons.
Somebody's doing it.
Are we going after the source? Are people going after the source? I don't think so, because there's just too many weapons in the community. Too many. Another thing is this, you know, you have like areas, and I know you heard it, it's the community weapon stash. You know, you know where to go to get a weapon.
Oh, yeah, without question.
You know, certain places in the projects or whatever corner you holding down or whatever.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah. Without question.
You know, who's written the weapon? Yeah. You don't know how many bodies is on that weapon you got.
Exactly. And if you use that firearm, you get caught with that firearm, you're getting charged with all those bodies that's on that firearm.
Exactly. You know, Chicago is on fire. That's all I could say. You know, it needs nationwide attention. It needs nationwide attention. These are youngsters that are dying. Communities living in fear. You know?
Yeah.
Communities under siege. People feeling like they're hostages. Like you said,
it's not
they
a
can't
problem.
Come out the house.
It's not a problem to the masses only until a white kid goes to a high school where to shoot up his classmates. Like
exactly.
all this talk about the gun violence and all that, you know what I mean? The masses don't think it's important until either like the Asian guy that shot all those students in Virginia Tech, like the color bonds and all that. When it concerns us, oh, that's their problem. They're killing each other.
But that's been the history in this country. That's the history in this country, okay? This has been going on for quite some time. Drugs,
I get
disease,
so angry with that, man.
It is what it is. It is what it is. We have to bring our awareness up. We have, you know, this cuts down the population and it fills the prison.
Yep.
Okay? We live in a capitalist country. Never forget this. And there are
yep.
folks who are looking at this and saying, how do we capitalize on what's going on in Chicago?
Absolutely.
In other words, how do we make money?
Because
yep. it always go back to the dollar.
Brother Tony, let me tell you something. And I realized this when I was in corrections and when I went through weapons training. Upstate New York, that's where most of the cadets go through for weapons training at these gun ranges. To this day, I still get mail from the NRA. The NRA is a billion-dollar conglomerate, and they fund a lot of our government people. You know what I'm saying? That's why they got so powerful. That's why the NRA is so powerful in this country. You understand? And they're pro guns. Oh yeah, they're pro guns without question. And it killed me when I was upstate New York. I forgot where I was, and you know they was taking us. We was at the gun range. The white people they take. You know how when we were kids, how we take our kids to let's say the museum, to a little amusement park, whatever. These white people were taking their kids to gun ranges, showing them how to shoot at early ages. I was astonished when I saw that. I seen the kid that had to been like 10 years old. This kid knew how to take apart a gun and put a gun back together, load it, and be ready to fire. I was shocked at that. I was like, wow. You know what I'm saying? But yet, we out here, we think watching movies like Desperado and all that, and we think what we get from people in the street of how to fire a gun, how to use a gun is a proper way to fire a gun. You know what I'm saying? But yet, you pull out and you fire a weapon. Just ask that kid that shot that guy on a bus. It was so crazy about that situation. I hate to switch topics, but this kid, the bus driver was driving, the guy, and it was a lady with two kids behind
right.
the bus driver. That bullet could have hit any one of those two young kids or the lady, but it happened to hit that guy that killed him. You know what I'm saying? So I just can't understand how these people in Chicago are feeling. 20 people wounded by gunfire and two people since Friday? That's insane.
Well, it was worse last Saturday. I think it was like something like 30-something people. Okay?
That's
insane. It escalates. And we're not even talking about what the casualties are 5 days a week. Okay? They don't start shooting on Friday night. This is 24/7. All right?
So,
you were talking about the kid on the bus, all right? His statement was, we're living in a war zone. That was his statement. We're living in a war zone.
That's exactly
and
what he said.
A lot of youngsters have that mindset. A lot of youngsters have that mindset, okay, that it's war, that they're at war in their own communities. That's insane.
Yep.
That's
yep.
insane.
And
you're killing
and like
your
I said
own.
Earlier.
You're killing your own. You kill, and you know we gotta get the message out there that you know we're my brother's keeper. You know we can't be on this. You know, kill you before you kill me. We can't be on that.
Man,
you can't be on
brother
that,
Nicks, man. I tell my grandmother this all the time. She's 90 years old, bless her soul. And sometimes I feel like I was born in the wrong era. I used to always tell her I came up in y'all in that time when y'all was here, because my era is so, it's just so crazy. And every decade the generation seems to get worse, because now it's even worse than when I came up in the 80s. Now the 90s, the 2000 kids, they're worse.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, I can go on here all night because there are a lot of factors. You know, I said the first thing about, you know, street rules, community rules that were implemented by hoodlums and gangsters. And gangs, okay? You mentioned the 80s. You know, to me, the 80s was like, you know, the apocalypse, okay? Crack hit, HIV hit, and, you know, it was anything goes. Anything goes. There were no more rules. Anything goes. And it has escalated, and it has progressed to where we're at right now. You know, you had a lot of crack babies that were born. Okay, a lot of crack babies that were born, drug addicted, and some of them are the parents of children that are out there committing homicide.
Yep.
All right? You got parents, especially poor parents, you know, who are putting their kids on all kind of drugs, and there's side effects to these drugs, but they're not aware of this because they're being told your child needs this and you'll get a check from the city or the state, you know, and because of their financial situation, their child may not need it, but because of their financial situation, they'll let the people put their children on drugs they don't need.
Yep.
You know, they diagnose them ADHD,
ADD?
Is it? Yeah. And a lot of false diagnoses, you know, a lot of false. You know,
we
really got to wake each other up on what's happening, why it's happening, and do what it takes to change the course. And it's going to take a commitment, a fearless commitment. Fearless commitment, because as far as I'm concerned, this can't go on no further, you know. We live in a high-tech society. The future is today, all right? The country is moving right along while Chicago's body count is rising.
It's rising.
And other inner cities in the nation. New York, L.A., Maryland, okay?
Yep.
This is a plague in every inner city community in the nation. And for me, gun violence is a crisis in America. It's not all about when that cat does that mass shooting, okay? Not when we got body counts like Chicago.
It's insane.
Listen, man, I'm going to get ready to close the show. It was a pleasure having you on with us tonight. Come be with us
anytime.
Anytime, my brother.
Yes, sir.
You all appreciate
yes, sir.
It, all right? You have a blessed
yes,
night.
Yes, sir. Likewise, sir. Yes, sir.
You've been listening to EIE SOC Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nicks. I'm the founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. here in Southeast Queens, New York. Tonight we've been talking about Chicago, a.k.a. Chirac, the gun violence crisis in the South Side, the rising body count. Time to bring the nation to the awareness of Chicago needs help. Way past time to help Chicago. Children are dying, and it shouldn't matter their color. Unfortunately, they are youth and young adults of color who are dying, and not much is being done about it. And it's time for a nation's attention. What are we going to do, people? I know you're listening. I know you can hear me. Okay, maybe it isn't your child, but one day it could be, because none of us is exempt. None of us. A lot of innocent folks catching bullets that is not meant for them. They thought they were exempt too, but none of us is exempt. It is really time to get involved. It is time to join the No Violence, No Peace movement. That's K-N-O-W, deuces. Roll up your sleeves. Get in the trenches. Get on the front line. Help make it happen. Help save some lives. This is what we need to do. It is truly up to us, because nobody else is going to make it happen but us. Okay? There's no me and we, so we got to do it. How do we start? By stepping up. By stepping up and saying enough is enough. Again, if you want to join Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, just go to our website at www.enoughisenoughsaveourchildren.org. Registration is free. And again, please make a donation. That helps keeps us on the air, helps us fund events, workshops, T-shirts. We even have a wish list to help some youngsters get through school. Up to us, folks, because nobody's going to do it for us. I know things is rough. I know sometimes depression and stress kicks in, but just for a moment, get out of yourself and help somebody else, because they need it. Listen, if no one told you they loved you today, God does, and so do I. You'll have a blessed night. I'll talk to you real soon. Good night.
Directions, they dig my directions. When people think that's okay, they don't bother me. can make it. Don't care what the weather, don't care about no trouble. Got myself together. I've been a kind of protection that's all around me. Hey, move.